Blog Talk Radio.
Your place, love connection. Your place of prayer, love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment. Here's your host, Dr. Susie.
Place Love Connection Bible Study. We're so excited to have you with us tonight, as we are every Tuesday night. So this is your place of love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment. We just want you to know that we're glad to have you with us tonight as we look at a new topic that Dr. Nix will be leading us into: fortifying your house, your shelter. Again, this is your place of prayer, love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment. Join us now for devotion. We're going to start off by having a song by Yolanda Adams, Open My Heart. And following that, we will have scripture and prayer. Join us.
Oh,
open up my heart. Praise the Lord. So, Dr. Nix, if you have our scripture, would you move us towards the Word of God?
Our scripture is found in John 15, 1 through 11. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit by itself, unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers. And the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full. God is blessed to the reading, the hearing, and the doing of his word, for it is the word of God.
Amen. Amen. Would you join me in prayer? God, we come before you, and we are just asking, oh Lord, that you would lead, guide, and direct us in the study tonight. We're so thankful to have Dr. Nix to teach us. Ask that you continue to bless him, give him wisdom, and that he would serve as a conduit from you to us as your children. We are excited about this month, as we are every month that we come to sit at your feet and hear from you. Please teach us with your infinite wisdom so that we can become more like you and favored children of God. We thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As we go tonight towards the Bible study, before we get too far into it, I just want to thank Dr. Nix, because what we're going to be talking about is fortifying your house. We've been talking about how we are seeking to, I guess the word was doing things with the kingdom. You know, we asked the questions about our country, or, you know, how do we, as Christians, operate in our country. We've asked questions about struggling with our neighborhood. How do we pray and strengthen and protect and operate with our neighborhood, battling for, is the word we use, battling for our neighborhood, battling for our country. And when we looked at all of those things, we came up with some understandings of what we need to be doing. And now we're looking at, okay, so now that we've looked outside of self, we're looking at self and looking at ways of battling or fortifying our house, our shelter. And Dr. Nix has a task, and he's really excited about it this month, and so am I. And I just know that he's got a great knowledge of wisdom to share with us, and I hope you get excited about it too. And for those of you online, if we could get a roll call. And Dr. Nix, if you are ready to go, let's go, let's go, let's go.
Amen. Amen. I I am excited about this. Fortifying our house or our shelter. And I think try to get an understanding about what it means to fortify our house or our shelter. First, to get things started, we've read the text, but I would like for us to go over to 2 Corinthians 5:16-21. If somebody can get that, 2 Corinthians 5:16-21. Who do we have online, and do they have Bibles? Do we have Bibles? 2 Corinthians 5:16-21. I'll read it. From now on, therefore, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we once regarded Christ according to the flesh, we regard him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself and counting their trespasses against them and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God for our sake. He made him to be sin, who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. So when we're talking about fortifying our house or our shelter, I want us to think about what house or shelter are we fortifying, and what does it mean to fortify that house or shelter. Now, I think all of us can agree we're not talking about a physical house, but we are talking about a spiritual house. And we read here in 2 Corinthians 5:16-21 that we should no longer look and consider ourselves according to the flesh. Those that are in Christ Jesus, we should be looking at those people and ourselves differently than we did before. So for those that are listening in, I'd like to first of all just address the question of fortifying, to fortify something. And I don't know who we have on the line, but to fortify something, what does that mean to you when you think about fortifying something?
This is Brett. Mm-hmm.
Yes, Brett.
Yeah. Fortifying, whether we're talking about our spirits or we're talking about just in general, it means to shore up, to make stronger. It means that we have to be renewed in our faith every day. That means that when we pray, that helps us to make our faith stronger, because the more that you walk in the Word, the better it's going to be for you, because God has you. He's not going to let you fall. So there in itself, you are stronger. Did that answer your question?
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
This is...
Anybody
else? This is... can you hear me, anybody?
Yes,
we hear
you,
Dr. Susie.
Okay.
Yes, we hear
this
you.
This is Dr. Susie, and I, when I look at the word fortify, I love Brett's definition. It's awesome. You know, I hear that military jumping out, but I actually started thinking about that when you said that, Brett, it clued me in to start thinking about, how, when you're in the military and you fortify something, you strengthen it defensively. You do defense type of operations to protect it against attack. So you think ahead. How do I operate defensively so that I can protect against attack? And
amen.
So,
yeah, that's
amen.
Great. Yeah. Those definitions are wonderful. I mean, you know, And when you think about this, you know, fortify, you know, protect against attack spiritually. When you think about our spiritual life, and then when you think about shoring up something, making something stronger in our spirit life. So, I mean, those are great definitions. And I think that really helps our studio audience to understand better what we're talking about when we're saying fortify. So we need to do things in the spirit. Go ahead. Sorry, Dr. Seuss.
I think there's someone else on the line, Dr. Nixon, so we might want to ask if anybody else.
Yes, I don't want to cut anybody off. Anybody else want to contribute to what fortify means?
Brian.
Yes, Brian.
This is Brian from Maine. When I first started thinking about this and praying about this tonight, it occurred to me that you can't really fortify a fixed position unless you have a strong foundation. And, of course, our foundation is the rock. It's Jesus Christ. So having that intimate relationship with Jesus Christ where we've submitted to him and asked him to guide our life gives us a strong foundation. So it's a real good start.
Amen. Amen. Great definitions. Anybody else? Well, praise God for those great definitions. So we're, our main theme is fortifying our house or a shelter. And I propose that we, when we're talking about house or shelter, we're talking about our spirit life because we're no longer the same. That's why we read 2 Corinthians 5, 16 through 21. Because our physical body, and then our main foundational text, we'll read that at some point. As a matter of fact, I'm just going to read verse 7 through 11 here just to give you an idea because it talks about
I actually have it, Dr. Nush, as well.
Okay.
Is it
okay,
2 Corinthians 4, 7 through 11?
Yes, please.
I have it.
Okay.
I'm reading through the New Living Translation, 2 Corinthians 4, starting at verse 7. It says, "We now have this light shining in our hearts, but we ourselves are like fragile clay jars containing this great treasure." This makes it clear that our great power is from God, not from ourselves. We are pressed on every side by troubles, but we are not crushed. This is my favorite text. We are perplexed, but not driven to despair. We are hunted down, but never abandoned by God. We get knocked down, but we're not destroyed. Through suffering, our bodies continue to share in the death of Jesus so that the life of Jesus may also be seen in our bodies. Yes, we live under constant danger of death because we serve Jesus so that the life of Jesus will be evident in our dying bodies. So we live in the face of death, but this has resulted in eternal life for you. How far do you want me to go, Dr. Nuts?
To 11, or you could do 12 if you'd like.
I just did 12.
Okay, that's fine.
So I read it through 12.
Amen. Amen. So when we're, what do you get from that text then? That's
Do you mind if I read on down a little bit? I'd like to read on down a little bit. It says, "But we continue to preach because we have the same kind of faith the psalmist had when he says, 'I believe in God, so I spoke.' We know that God who raised the Lord Jesus will also raise us with Jesus and present us to himself together with you. All of this is for your benefit. And as God's grace reaches more and more people, there will be great thanksgiving, and God will receive more and more glory. That is why we never give up. Though our bodies are dying, our spirits are being renewed every day.
All right.
For our present troubles are small and won't last very long, yet they produce for us glory that will vastly outweigh them and will last forever. So we don't look at the trouble we can see now. Rather, we fix our gaze on things that cannot be seen. For the things we see now will soon be gone, but the things we cannot see will last forever. And it's the idea, Dr. Nooks, that you were talking about, the spirit. And it says, though our bodies are dying, our spirits are being renewed every day, strengthened, renewed, empowered. So as we go forth and look at fortifying, our spirits are being renewed every day.
Amen. So we need to wrap our heads around what fortifies us and what gives us strength. And to that, our subject for today, and I think it's just so important, is make sure your faith is not in yourself, but in God. And I think Brian was talking about foundation, having a foundation. I think that's a good foundation for us to start with when we're talking about fortifying our spiritual beings. So we want to talk about that today. And that's where our text is, the text in John 15, 1 through 11. Comes in at. So let's read that again. If somebody has it, and remember we're talking about, we want to make sure that our faith is not in ourselves, but in God.
Amen. So John 15.
That, John?
I have it. John 15. What verses?
1 through 11.
Okay. I have John 15. Were you reading in the Message or the New Living Translation, Dr. Nook?
I think I was reading in the English Standard Version.
All right. I've got the Message, if that's fine.
The Message is fine. That might be good to hear that.
It says, I am the real vine, and my Father is the farmer. He cuts off every branch of me that doesn't bear grapes. And every branch that is grape-bearing, he prunes back so it will bear even more. You are already pruned back by the message I have spoken. Live in me. Make your home in me, just as I do in you. And in the same way that a branch can't bear grapes by itself, but only by being joined to the vine, you can't bear fruit unless you are joined with me. I am the vine, you are the branches. When you're joined with me and I with you, the relation, intimate and organic, the harvest is sure to be abundant. Separated, you can't produce a thing. Anyone who separates from me is dead wood, gathered up and thrown on the bonfire. But if you make yourselves at home with me and my words are at home in you, you can be sure that whatever you ask will be listened to and acted upon. This is how my Father shows who he is when you produce grapes, when you mature as my disciples. And go through 11?
Yes.
I've loved you the way my Father has loved me. Make yourselves at home in my love. For if you keep my commands, you will remain intimately at home in my love. And that's what I've done. I've kept my Father's commands, made myself at home in his love. I've told you these things for a purpose, that my joy might be your joy, and your joy wholly mature. This is my command. Love one another the way I loved you. This is the very best way to love. Put your life on the line for your friends. You're my friends when you do the things I command you. I'm no longer calling you servants because servants don't understand what their master is thinking and planning. No, I've named you friends because I've let you in on everything I've heard from the Father. And if you don't mind, let me go ahead to the end. You didn't choose me. Remember, I chose you and put you in the world to bear fruit, fruit that won't spoil. As fruit bearers, whatever you ask in the Father in relation to me, he gives you. But remember the root command, love one another. Amen.
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 So Dr. Nick, this is a really powerful text. And this text is reminding us that we have to abide in the vine, abide in Christ. We have to be connected. We have to be in relationship. We have to have accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior and believe that he died and rose on the cross to give us life abundantly. And that when we die, we too will be raised with him and to live with him forevermore. So we have to be connected.
Amen. Amen. And that fourth verse is, as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. And then verse 5 says, for apart from me, you can do nothing. So I really wanted to focus on making sure that we don't put our faith in ourselves, but put our faith in God. I think Dr. Seuss has given us a good introduction to discuss this text and about how important it is to be connected to the vine. So I open that discussion up. What does it mean to abide or be connected to the vine? And how do we do that? For those that are listening in, Brian, Brett, Dr. Susie.
This is Brian from Maine.
Yes.
That intimate relationship, which can only come through regular prayer, certainly more than daily, but regular prayer, where the Lord is on your mind and your heart throughout the day, and you have that ongoing, continuous relationship with him that is bolstered through prayer is obviously one way to be connected to the vine.
Amen.
Amen. Brett, do you have anything you want to say about that, being connected to the vine and abiding in Jesus?
Oh, yeah. It's just, how I want to put this. I think if anybody knows anything about plants, and you look at trees, and when the storm comes, and your branches have died, or they're dying, and the storm takes those branches out. Once those branches fall, they're only good for firewood. So once you decide to leave the branch, which is the word of Jesus Christ, and you're out here on your own, you're going to fail. When you fail, then what good are you? You got to stay connected to where you can get your nourishment, where you get your food, and I'm talking about spiritual food, because it's something else to eat greens and stuff like that, but when it comes to the word of God and to the spirit, there is a spiritual food that will nourish you and keep you and take you through any storm that comes in your path. But you got to have sense enough to stay connected. And when you stay connected, that's through prayer. And, you know, tell God, hey, you know, I wasn't great today. You know, forgive me of my sins. Help renew in me the right spirit and a clean heart. God's going to answer that prayer. The thing is, you keep nourishing yourself by every day praying and asking God for forgiveness for anything you did wrong, and to give you strength to carry on and not make those same mistakes again today.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Amen. And I'm going to suggest, and I open it up for Dr. Susie, first of all, did you want to have any more comments on that? You sort of introduced
or anybody.
Anybody else.
I think that it's really important. I think Jamie just joined the group too. I think it's very important to look at, you know, we talked about words, and the Greek word abide means to remain, to stay, to tarry, to stay connected. Talking about a permanency, of something that's remaining. And I think we need to look at the fact that it's really denoting a permanency of something or someone remaining or abiding. And so this is saying that the Lord is calling us to, it's like the marriage, you know, the marriage should be for permanency. So when we look at abiding, staying connected to, I think it's that dwelling, continued relationship with God that should excite us. And so I got kind of excited about, you know, knowing that, you know, we look at life, and in reality, the life on this side of the Jordan is short. And the permanence of that relationship we have with God will last until eternity, you know, forever with the Lord. And so that permanence is long-lasting, abiding, remaining. It's not going to fleet. It's not going to go away like many of the things that have happened with us and to us and the way we choose to walk away from stuff.
Amen. I wanted to look at that second verse and Brett kind of talked about it a bit about you got to stay connected. But it says there, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. And I think that's an important verse. Some writers equate that to people that say that they follow Jesus and really don't. And those are the branches that die and are burned in the fire. But people that mess up, which is all of us, need to be pruned. and I think
yeah,
all
but
of us
Dr.
have. Go ahead.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say the pruning is difficult, and I wanted to talk about pruning, but I wanted to just bring up a text in Matthew 7, 21 through 23. And not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do many mighty works in your name? And then will I declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. So those people that were thrown away, it says later on that they were cast into the fire and burned. So I just bring that up for a discussion because we have a lot of people that profess Jesus, but they may not really be connected to the vine.
Amen.
So we really need to be, I guess, mindful and prayerful ourselves and stay in the Word ourselves, because some people that claim to be Christians really aren't. Go ahead, Dr. Susie.
So this is Dr. Susie. You know, I want to go back to that, what we were talking about just a second ago, because when Jesus said that as the branch of the vine doesn't have the capacity to produce fruit from itself alone, meaning neither are the believers able to produce fruit, which you just said, unless they abide or remain, but that the branch abiding in the vine is presented as if, you know, life is flowing through the vine.
Yes.
If you're connected. Life is flowing, which causes the production of the fruit. It's that life that's flowing through the Lord to us that produces the fruit, not us, but God working through us. And that's why we are clear, or made clear to us, that if you're not connected to me, you ain't going to produce no fruit. Because is not coming from you even when you connect it. It's from the life source that's flowing through you.
Amen.
That produces it.
Amen.
So if you don't see fruit,
go ahead.
I'm just saying, if you don't see fruit, the Bible also says you tell the tree by the fruit it bears. And if you ain't producing no fruit, if you ain't producing no fruit, it means you're not connected. So, I mean, you don't have to guess. You don't have to guess. If there is no fruit, there's no connection, because if there were, you would be receiving something from that life force to help you, to use you to produce the fruit. Not that you, because you can't do it, but it's produced through you, because it's coming from the source.
Amen.
This is Brian from Maine.
Yes, Brian.
When we think of an earthly example of a plant like a grapevine, there's a certain amount of sun, you know, that hits that plant throughout its life, and there's a certain amount of water and nutrients that come up through the roots, and you know, those can be calculated and those can be measured, but they're always limited, and the growth of that plant is limited by something, and that's, you know, that's what determines how big the plant will get or how much fruit that it will bear. Our situation is exactly the opposite. We have an infinite source of light. We have an infinite source of water and nutrients through Jesus Christ, our Lord. So the only limitation that prevents our fruits to be, our plant and our fruits to be infinite in size, is ourselves.
Yeah.
Dr. Nick, this is Brett.
Yes.
Brian just said something, and he kind of skimmed over that, but the key word was roots. A vine is only as good as the roots that is holding it in the ground. That's where it gets its nutrients from. That's where it gets its strength from. That's where it gets the water to allow it to grow. And when God is watering us, when we confess with our mouth and we accept Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior, whom we're baptized, that all ties together in fertilizing that ground that our roots are going to be buried in, that's going to allow us to continue to grow and not wither and die. That's all.
Well, what you're seeding into is the Word of God, and if you're not using the Word of God to grow your root system, then you won't have one.
Amen.
Amen. Yeah, and then that verse 3 says, already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. So this is Jesus talking, you know, to the disciples. So, you know, the word is critical for life also. You're clean because of the word, but then you need to abide in me in order for you to be able to grow and bear fruit. You need to abide in me for you to even live spiritually. Otherwise, you're going to die spiritually.
So the question becomes, what does abiding in Christ look like so that we can grow? Or is that another day?
No, we can talk about that. Go ahead.
His word. That means that you stay in prayer, you continue to quit doing the things that you know that is not of God and not what he wants us to do and not the way that he wants us to live our lives, but we have to make that change and we have to do it and we have to be centered on what we say, how we act, and how we present ourselves, because we are representing the body of Christ.
Amen. You know, Dr. Ness, I guess it just is really clear to me when we talk about abiding, it's about understanding that it's not about us. It's about submitting. It's about letting go. It's about, if you know, I mean, it's simple. You got the word. You don't have to have somebody beat you up with the head across the head with it. the reality is you just submit. If you either submit or you don't. You know, don't do this and you do it anyway. You're making a choice. It's about letting go, letting God, submitting. And as we submit, obedience is better than sacrifice. As we are obedient to the Lord, as we live out that word, as our lives become a living epistle so that people can see it, as we do what God asks us to do, it's real simple. But when we are not headed, when we are independent, like it says, when we want to live outside the parameters and do it our own way, then we get stunted and we don't grow. And then we wonder why, oh, I wonder why we're having this problem in my life. Oh, I wonder why we're struggling over here. Oh, I wonder why there's no nutrients or no source. Well, because we thought we had it, and we're gonna do it our way instead of God's way.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. And I wanted to just talk about what the fruit looks like. And Jesus later on talks about love. You know, the disciples ought to love one another. And he talks about loving God and God loving him and him loving the disciples. He talks a lot about love, but it appears that the fruit that we should be bearing is like the fruit of the Spirit. So for our listeners, I think we ought to talk about that a bit and look at Galatians 5, Galatians 5:31-32, I think it is. Somebody got that? Can you get that for us? Galatians 5:22-23. I've got it. And when we think about the fruit that we ought to be bearing, and I think this is important, it says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Now, when we think about faithful Christians, sometimes we think about more about how often they go to church, what church they go to, who's their pastor, instead of are they displaying love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Those fruits of the Spirit, it's saying that we need help from Jesus. We need our connection to the vine to be able to even bear those fruits of the Spirit. And if we could bear those fruits of the Spirit, how would that affect the world? If the branches could bear those kinds of fruit, and we could really display that, what kind of an effect could we have on the world? Well, first of all, do you feel that we are displaying those fruits of the Spirit?
This is Britt. No.
Yes.
People aren't doing that. Because if this world would get together and start doing what God wants us to do, to love one another, there wouldn't be any anger or hatred. There wouldn't be any people being spiteful. You wouldn't have people doing dope and drugs and having heart attacks and strokes and everything else. There wouldn't be any diabetes. This whole world would be a different place, because God didn't intend for all this to happen to us. We brought this on ourselves by sinning. And now we have to pray to Him to help, to ask Him to help us to heal parts of our body and to take away sickness and prolong death or whatever else that we feel that we need to have for a loved one or even for ourselves.
Brett, this is Dr. Susie. You are so nice and kind. And you think that humans would be so nice and kind. I don't believe it, Brett. I don't think it's in us. I think that the way we are made, we are sinful and we fall short as human beings. And I think that we would sin, we would fall short, we would anger, because even Jesus got angry when the
of course
when they jacked up and wouldn't let the people, the Gentiles, be able to pray in the temple.
Amen.
I think I think it's the whole reason it says angry but sin not. It's because anger is an emotion, and the way that we as individuals are designed is that we are human beings, and those electrical impulses go through our brain, and we're going to have emotions. But the issue becomes, will we act in a way that's Christian, be loving, forgiving, caring, and work through those challenges? Instead of turn away in wrath and do the opposite, the things that are not of God.
Amen.
Amen.
It doesn't mean I'm right, Brett. I'm just saying I wonder, Go ahead.
Amen. So I wanted to look at one more area there where it says that if we abide in Christ and Christ abides in us, and we can ask Christ whatever we want, we can ask Christ and we'll be provided what we ask for. Now, I think some people might look at that and say, well, I want a husband, I want a wife, I want a car, I want a house, I want $1 million. But we need to look at that. If you abide in me and my word abides in you, then people won't be asking for selfish stuff like that. So I think it's important for our listeners to understand that it's not just saying that you're going to go out here and ask for anything that you want, and that's going to be in line with God. Because if we're abiding in the vine, and we're the branches, then we ought to be reflecting God. And I think that's important. And Dr. Susie often talks about in relationship with God. So if we're in relationship with God, then the things that we do and ask for are going to reflect that relationship. And I think that's part of bearing fruit, is how we act. And what we say, and how we treat people. I think those are the fruits that we bear when we talk about love and kindness. And then I like down there where it said, these things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full. And what does that mean to you, those that are listening in, those that are participating? To think that Jesus' joy is in us, and Jesus wants our joy to be full. What does that mean to you, to have your joy full, to have joy?
This is Brian. Again, he wants us to have joy in abundance. He wants us to have joy that is separated from the things of this world, because he's warned us about not banking on and not investing in only those things of this world, which will all turn to dust and decay. So the joy that he has for us doesn't really have to do much of anything at all with earthly things. It has to do with what he has told us is important and that he can provide for us in abundance.
Amen. Amen. Anybody else? Dr. Seuss, you're bread. And if not, I wanted to close with this in verse 2, where it says, "In every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes." And I'd like to get some discussion about what it means to be pruned.
Lord
have
mercy.
People want to be pruned. What does that mean to you, to be pruned by God?
So which question do you want us to deal with first, Dr. Nux?
What does it mean to be pruned?
Okay. Brett, you want to go first?
No, I yield to you.
Okay.
No, I can't. The only reason why I say that is because my dad and I had talks about this when I was coming up, and that conversation went on for about 3 hours. But basically, I'll go ahead and do it. The way I look at it is that when we're doing this journey that we're doing, a lot of times we want to hold on to things that we were doing prior to accepting Christ. And if your temper is very quick, God will prune that. He'll take part of that away from you. And as you walk through this journey, you'll find that you don't get as angry as you used to, or the anger goes away. You look at things a different way. Everything is not cut and dried where you look at it and it's black and white. There's three dimensions to this thing. You can look at it a different way and do something entirely different with that. Take that anger and turn it into something positive. I had an experience Monday when I went to physical therapy at VA. I was sitting, and this lady, I found out she was older than me, but she was telling me all the things she didn't like. And so I asked her one question. I said, "What is it that you like?" And she had a hard time trying to tell me. And I said, "You know what?" I said, "I don't know if you go to church, but I'll tell you something. To have a better life, you got to believe in Jesus Christ. And you got to start walking by faith, not by what you see. And you got to pray about things. And God will turn your life around, and it'll be happy. You'll be a happier person. You'll be able to do things." And in talking with this lady before I left, she had a different view about a lot of things, whereas before it was a negative view. Now she saw it from a different angle. And she had to agree that what I was saying was true. But God will use you if you are walking the walk. If you are part of the vine, he's going to send that message to you. It just came out of the blue. God put the words in my mouth, like he always does.
Did she have any pruning?
But one of the things she didn't like Hillary Clinton, but she loved Donald Trump. And when I got through with my message, she saw that Hillary wasn't as bad as she thought that she was, and Donald Trump isn't as good as she thought he was. So, you know, you can't sit up and lie about certain things. And I explained to her, I said, "When have you ever seen a footage of Donald Trump going into a church on Sunday morning?" where with Obama, his first term, every Sunday he was going to church with his family. No, like I told her. Go ahead. I told you
I'm
going to
say, try to get what pruning means. What pruning means to you, and I think you said about giving, letting go of some things you used to have, and wanted to get some input from Brian and Dr. Susie about what pruning means to you. Brian or Dr. Susie?
We also got Brian on here from Kentucky.
Oh, okay. Brian from Kentucky, too. And this is every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. So we wanted to talk about pruning in our lives. What does that mean, to be pruned by God?
This is Brian from Kentucky. When I look at the word pruning, and I look at the way that we live our lives, none of us are without sin. And I think that as we go through our life, there are some things that we do that is not good in God's sight. So he prunes those things. He speaks to us through his spirit. He speaks to us through his ways and guides us. Same as pruning, to do certain things, to do his will. So as far as pruning is concerned, the way that we live our lives, things that we're doing and not doing, and I think he's given us the spirit, he's speaking to us to guide us in the direction that he would have us to go.
Okay. Brian from Maine or Dr. Susie? So we're almost at 8 o'clock.
I think one of the things that happens that I would consider to be pruning is sometimes people leave our life at the right time.
Yes.
Either they move away or they pass away, and it gives us opportunities to meet other people. I've had many close friends over the years pass away of cancer, and it really changed the dynamic of who I knew, who I was spending my time with, who I was adventuring with, and who I was who I was witnessing to, who I was sharing the gospel with. It gave me opportunities to meet new people so that I could, you know, not just be kind of stuck in the same rut with the same people all my life.
Amen. Okay. Dr. Susie.
Yes, sir.
Pruning. What is?
Yeah, pruning for me makes me look at different things that have happened in my life. I can tell the story about I feel that different things will happen in your life to lead God, direct you to the direction where God wants you to go, and sometimes those things are taken away. For example, I worked for an organization. And in working for that organization, I tried to help another lady. And as I helped the lady, it caused a problem for me. But in causing a problem for me, I ended up losing some things that were important to me. For example, I ended up not having that particular job, and as a result, didn't have the income for my house or my car or different things. So God moved those things out of my life so that I would draw. It's like being pruned. So those things will cut off that. And when you get pruned as a plant, it's like the suckers are cut off, and it pushes you back closer to the vine, to the stalk, to the source. And yeah, as a result, it drew me back on my knees, drew me back to the Lord to strengthen me, to get me to go back to Him, to God, to examine, you know, my life and do a reflection, so that I could see how I needed to stay closer to the source. And as I stayed closer to the source, I began to have the strength to again move out and to grow. It's like when you cut off a branch off the tomato plant. And so what happens is it forces energy in another area, and that plant will grow in a different direction. And as it grows, then it bears fruit. You know, it's able to put out more blooms because that non-productive area was cut off. And so that's what happened in my life. So.
Amen. Well, I thank all of
Amen.
You for all of that.
Amen.
Yes. Great input, and I know that our listeners will be blessed by what's been said. Dr. Susie, it's after 8 now, so I
All right.
can turn it over to you.
All right. So, as always, around 8 o'clock or therein, we want to ask any of our listeners we want to ask our listeners if there's anyone who would love to have a relationship with God, to be connected to the vine. We know that the Lord is the analogy of that source that flows, the source of life. And so if you realize today that you're stagnant and that you don't have a life force flowing through you that's producing fruit, and you can ask and turn to the Lord Jesus Christ and say, you know, Lord, I need a relationship with you. And I recognize that separate from you, I can do nothing, but connected to you, I can do all things. And so I come to you tonight asking, wanting, desiring to accept you into my life as my personal Lord and Savior, believing that you died on the cross for my sins and that you rose again with all power, and that I too will rise with you to be with you in eternity when I leave this earth. And then, Lord, we're asking that those who have prayed a prayer of confession and believe in their hearts that you died and rose again for them, that they would be empowered and endowed with the Holy Spirit to rest, rule, and abide with them, that will never leave them nor forsake them, and that they can get connected to a Bible-based church so that they can grow according to your word that will be seeded into them. And so, Lord, we ask that they continue to visit and to be with us and listen to Bible study here, so that they can grow and be the best that God would have them be. So, Lord, we ask this for those of you who have accepted Christ as your personal Savior. We are excited for you, and we ask that you join another church, a church to get actively involved, and that you continue supporting and listening to Your Place Love Connection Bible Study. We thank you, and we celebrate you being our brother or sister in the faith, and we look forward to hearing from you next Tuesday from 7 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
Amen.
Thanks for listening to Your Place Love Connection, your place of prayer, love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment.
Brian?
Yes.
I misunderstood. I thought you said you were going home.
No. I asked if I could. What I said was, can I go to your house?
Oh, I thought you asked me if I was going home. Straight home there.
No, I said, can I go to your house? You said, yeah, I'm going home.
Yeah, so that's what I said as I was going home. Yeah. Didn't know what you were saying.
Could I have not come?
I just.
It's just a misunderstanding. Okay.
I just didn't hear you.
Okay. Thank you for letting me be with you for today. Really nice to be with you on the house.
Let me turn this off. Hold on. I forgot enough at home. Thought I had turned it off.